The senior executive service is 45 years old, and yet it's never really worked the way it was intended. It didn't develop into the mobile cadre of managers who move from agency to agency fixing things. The Brookings Institution and Booz Allen Hamilton are looking, or holding rather, a brainstorming session today with government leaders to discuss whether and how the SES ought to change. Federal News Radio's Emily Kopp spoke with two of the organizers, Ron Sanders and Bob Hale of Booz Allen. Sanders says the SES has come under a lot of stress and scrutiny lately, making now the right time for change.
Those are symptoms of a system that is maybe becoming a bit creaky. Seams are beginning to be exposed, and I think the evidence of it are we're seeing in some cases in the headlines with VA, with IRS. There are other examples. Unfortunately, they mask the great work that thousands of SES members are doing as we speak. But, you know, the original vision, I don't think has ever really been realized. And I think it's time to step back as we approach the half century mark in its institutional life to say, you know, is that original vision valid? Do we stick by it and just implement differently, or do we recast it?
Bob, I want to bring you in. As the former CFO of the Defense Department, you had a lot of SES members working for you. As a political appointee, how do you see the SES, and is it fitting the need that it was, as Ron spoke about, designed to do more than two decades ago?
Well, Emily, I think Ron said it well. They're doing a great job under enormous stress, at least the ones working for me, and I think I can generalize to most members of the SES and doing their daily jobs. But they are frustrated to some extent by external events, three pay freezes, two furloughs last year. Those affected the whole civil service, but they also canceled the presidential rank awards for the SES last year because of sequestration. And I think more broadly, some frustration because the SES are equated with the federal government, and the public right now does not have its government in a particularly high level of esteem. So in addition to the substantive issues that Ron mentioned, I think there are some external events that are causing frustration, and that adds to the importance, in my mind, of relooking at the SES right now.
And your symposium is bringing together high-level leaders, both current and former, from across the executive branch, including the Office of Personnel Management Director, Catherine Archuleta. What is the goal of this symposium? What do you hope to achieve?
Emily, the ultimate objective is to be able to step back, revisit the institutional role of the SES, revisit the competencies that we expect SES members to demonstrate, revisit how we develop and then deploy SES members, and then assuming that we conclude that some changes are in order, to be able to present a bipartisan blueprint to whoever will listen next spring. So we've been pretty careful to bring together current and former senior officials who've served in both Democratic and Republican administrations. And Emily, we've focused on people like Bob who have had members of the SES work for them. Bob worked for the Secretary of Defense, and then he in turn had to take and translate the directions he got from the Secretary to career SESers who were in charge of executing. And we think that provides a unique vantage. With all due respect, cabinet secretaries only see career SES members under the most ritualistic of circumstances when they come into brief. Everything is very orchestrated for the most part. Career SES members, for the most part, see the world through very functional or organizational blinders. As you know, the vast majority of SES members are promoted into and stay within a particular agency, and in fact, most of them stay within a particular function within a particular agency. That, despite the original vision of the SES as a mobile leadership core. So we thought that those sub-cabinet officials, like the former CFO of the Department of Defense, would have a unique vantage. This is what I had to do. This is how those members of the SES served me as a member of an administration.
We're speaking with Ron Sanders. He's a vice president at Booz Allen Hamilton and a former SES member at a number of agencies. Also, Bob Hale, until recently the CFO at the Defense Department and now a fellow at Booz Allen. You've mentioned, Ron, both of you have mentioned the external pressures on the SES right now. Bob, from your vantage point, though, what would you say are the major challenges within the SES that the executive branch could do something about?
Well, I think there are a couple, and Ron has alluded to some of these. First off, the SES, as Ron said, has not turned out to be the mobile core of executives. I think there's some mix that's appropriate. Partnership for Public Service, working with Booz Allen, did a study a couple of years ago that made sense to me and said there should be a core who have mobility or really designed to work on intergovernmental efforts, but also another group who provide the corporate memory, as they did, and the technical expertise that was so important to me as CFO, and they may stay in an agency and maybe even in a function. So I think some changes in terms of mobility make sense. Got a serious problem of pay differentials in the senior executive service. Basically, they make the same thing as the GS-15s, who usually are promoted to the SES, and yet they're taking on much wider responsibilities. I'm not naive enough to think this is going to get solved quickly, but it is a serious problem in getting good people to take that leap from the general schedule to the senior executive service. And I'll mention one more thing that I think would help the SES, and that is broadly reform of the civil service itself. After all, civil servants are generally working for members of the SES, and we need to be able to hire members of the civil service more quickly, and in a few cases, we need to be able to fire them more quickly than we can under current laws and policies. I think fixing some of the civil service problems would help civil service, but they'd also help the SES.
And is your ultimate goal in starting this project, having this symposium, to propose something that the Congress could do something about or the executive branch?
Yes. The ultimate objective is to take the proceedings of the symposium, and we'll ask presenters at the symposium to reduce their thoughts to paper. Brookings will publish those thoughts as an anthology in the spring. And again, that's intended to be a blueprint for whoever will listen. Now, I think you've heard, and as have I, that the administration is going to propose some fixes to the senior executive service here over the next couple of months. I don't have details, and I wouldn't steal the administration's thunder if I did. But at the end of the day, we really think you need to step back and take a far more strategic look. I think some of the fixes that Bob and I have alluded to take more than administrative action. They would require legislation. Emily, I was involved in the last major legislative amendment to the SES when we created the SES pay for performance system in the mid-2000s, and the quid pro quo for more rigor in SES performance management was the ability to move SES salaries to executive level two. That's the last time that pay cap has been raised. That pay cap hasn't moved a lot since 2004. And when you're talking about executives who have multi-billion dollar responsibility, in many cases life and death responsibility, there are some structural issues that can only be solved if the executive branch and the legislative branch and, frankly, the career executive corps work together to solve them. But I do think there's an urgency here because we're approaching the perfect storm. We have been hearing for years that more and more SES members are eligible for retirement. The economy has reached, I think, a tipping point in that we're seeing accelerated SES attrition. The retirement tsunami may never hit, but the waves are getting bigger. And on the other end of the pipeline, I've talked to a lot of GS-14s and 15s, and as Bob has suggested, they are just wondering whether it's worth it.
Mm. We started off mentioning Congress and the pressure, and there are certainly members of Congress who will be in the majority in January, who would like to change the SES, but not necessarily in the way that the administration might like to change it. Have you in this project at Booz or at Brookings tried to incorporate the views of current congressional members who will have a hand in shaping whatever legislation if they actually act on legislation?
No, we haven't. We have invited a few congressional staff to participate in the symposium. I think at the end of the day, Emily, this is about career leadership, and that should not be a partisan issue. We want the government, whether you want a big government or a small government, an expansive government or not, whatever government you want it to be led well. And I think that's what this debate has to be about.
Emily, could I ask add one more point that I should have before, but it's important and I'd like to mention it. And
yeah.
I think we need to do a better job of telling the current members of the SES and frankly the entire civil service that they, in many cases, are doing great jobs. They certainly, the ones working for me, were certainly doing it and helped me through some very difficult budgetary times at the Department of Defense. I think it's incumbent on managers in the government and on people like me who are recently out of government to make sure they know. Sometimes they don't hear it. They just hear the criticism, and we need to do a better job of telling them that they're important parts of the government.